This is Gilbert Gottfried, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions with the late Frankfurter Rose.
Whatever happened to Frank?
Yeah, well, he was never able to find work again.
After losing our three episodes?
Yes. Never was able to work again. And he was living in under the bridge in Jersey somewhere.
We will explain at the end of this episode what we actually mean. But who else is with us, Gil?
Also.
Yeah.
Paperclipless.
What?
Raybone.
I don't understand.
Raybone. Paperclip.
By the way, they're all paper products now. Have you noticed?
Yeah, it's
all stationary now.
That's
it's
right.
Paper, origami.
So this is a tragedy in Raybone's life that he has several pieces of paper that he can't keep together because he cannot use for religious reasons. He cannot use paper clips.
Does any of this mean anything to you, Paul?
Yes. Well, the paperclip story is a long and ugly reminder.
Paul informed me, Gilbert, while you were taking a bathroom break, Paul informed me that...
Which is every 5 minutes.
Frank just brought Paul a paperclip.
This is an engineer you can count on.
That's an engineer.
He walked right in here with a clip.
He's like MacGyver. Paul informed me on the break while you were making a tinkle...
Yes.
...that his son listens to this podcast.
Ah!
Which is more than I can say for your offspring.
Yes.
I would like to apologize to Paul Rayburn's son.
Yes.
Anything I'm about to say.
We issue a lot of apologies. Your son is 37?
38? 30, what the hell is he? Since 2018, he's going to be 37.
Math is not your long suit. And he lives in New Zealand. And he lives in Auckland?
He lives in Wellington.
Wellington.
Windy
That's the
Wellington.
Capital.
That's right.
Yeah.
His wife works for the government in Wellington as a mental health advisor.
There you go.
And he expects to be working for the government soon, too. So this is... I hope this doesn't get out because this takeover of the New Zealand government by American expats.
And he listens to this show.
And he listens to this
flattered.
Show.
I'm flattered.
Very good.
And he loves it.
Yeah, that's fun.
The Jew hunter in Inglourious Basterds, what's his name again?
Brad Pitt?
No, the Jew hunter. He's the Nazi.
You mean the character Christoph Waltz plays.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. He has a son who's a rabbi living in Israel.
Really?
Yeah, he's not Jewish. He himself.
Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, he was married to a Jewish woman at one point. They had a son who is now a rabbi in Israel.
Wow. He's fun in Scott and Larry's movie in Big Eyes.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
can we
good
connect
bond?
His son to Kevin Bacon?
Well, let's try it. Good Bond villain, too. Christoph Waltz. We're going to do some tweets, but before we do that, since this is sort of a fan-friendly episode, a listener-friendly episode, we occasionally get gifts sent here at Nutmeg.
Oh, lavish.
I love
lavish
those.
Gifts.
Yes, lavish gifts.
And imaginative ones.
And Gilbert usually just walks out and doesn't open them and doesn't read them and doesn't realize that his name is on them. And my wife keeps wondering why I come back from recordings with my arms filled with envelopes. And these are the gifts that I collect them so they don't get thrown out. Frank is very nice to accept them for us. And
I want to apologize now to all the fans that have sent things by the time this airs.
Yes. Well,
we'll have them returned to them.
Yes.
We'll clear that up on social media and we'll explain.
When we're living in a new place, you could send them to the wife of the late Frank Ferdarosa.
But this is
the Ferdarosa widow.
This is stuff that was sent to us by fans, care of Nutmeg, and we'll have to issue a new address.
Yes.
But this is from our friend Andrew Bavington, and look what he sent you, Gilbert.
Oh.
Can you open this? I'll open it.
You have the Ohio Bavingtons?
Of the Ohio, of the Connecticut Bavingtons.
Oh, right.
Yes. This is... Hey guys. He's right the first time. As requested on the podcast, please find included for Gilbert a copy of Gilbert. Open that up. That is.
Francis.
He's doing Joey Ross. Just move that piece of tape out of the way.
Yes.
And you got it. That is what you are holding in your hand from our pal Andrew Bavington. He's really botched this.
It's like watching Paul open up that pack of cookies all over it.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. That took an entire episode. The Monster Times.
There you go.
The Monster Times. Thank you.
Issue number one.
Thank you.
No less from 1972.
Thank you with an artwork of King Kong.
How about
and
that?
A picture of Boris Karloff.
Is that a lovely gift?
That is fan devotion.
Gift. So you thank Andrew yourself.
Thank you, Andrew.
And there's some other stuff here because you've been requesting on the show. Why isn't anybody sending me stuff from the Monster Times?
Yes.
And now it came. Okay, what else do we have here? I opened these last night. My wife said, "You're going to open them for him too? Can't he do anything?"
You were like, so basically you were like Tom Hanks on the island.
Yes.
We had these Federal Express packages.
Yes.
You wouldn't open.
Yes, skates came.
Yes.
I took out my
actually,
tooth.
It was a volleyball with a bloody handprint that actually did better research than Paul does.
Now. Now you're just being cruel.
Wilson.
Well, yeah.
Wilson.
Wait till you see how I do with my new paperclip.
Okay, here's an
apologies to Paul's son.
This was sent by Joseph Ginsburg. I'm trying to see if I can get the names on this. Joseph Ginsburg, Golan, Bach, Eisenman. Oh, that's the name of the law firm.
It's a law. Don't open it.
That's the name of the law firm. This is from Joseph Ginsburg. Hello.
A Jew?
Yes, he's one of yours. Yeah. Enjoy this, dear fellows. Thank you so much for this wonderful podcast. It is so delightful to know that one isn't the only middle-aged white guy who remembers the 70s as if, I think it's a backhanded compliment, as if it were yesterday. This is P.S. How has Caroline Monroe not come up on the podcast before, unless I've missed it? I think we mentioned her when we talked about Dr. Fibes.
Yeah, she's probably.
She's in the abominable Dr. Fibes.
Is she around?
She's around, I think. This is from your pal, Joseph.
She didn't die with Julie Andrews.
No! She was not part of the lesbian death, lesbian suicide pact. Open this. This is from your friend, Joseph Ginsburg, class of Brooklyn College.
This is so exciting. Another Monster Times!
Hey, look at that!
Another Monster Times!
It's like Christmas morning.
It is. Dara's going to be so happy.
I've never seen a child so delighted.
And what is his name?
His name is Joseph Ginsburg.
Okay.
And you'll want to thank him. He's one of your countrymen.
Oh, Mr. Ginsburg. yeah, thank you.
How about that?
Wow, 2 months.
I'm going to have to
put
Christmas music under this. that level of joy doesn't happen around here these days.
Oh, no.
Now, our friend Paul Ekstrom,
who
loves the show and who follows us on Patreon and just requested a couple of weeks ago your song. I think he requested you singing the Beverly Hillbillies game. He sent us a DVD, sent you one and sent one to me. Are you familiar with a movie called The Blood Rose from 1970?
Sounds familiar.
We're going to have Mr. Ray Bone check it out.
Oh, Christ.
He writes, This is the first sex slash horror movie, not counting Gilbert's honeymoon video, ever made by Paul Ekstrom. Do you know this film? The Blood Rose, 1970.
Wow.
Anyway, he sent that, so we want to thank Paul, and we will have our Paul look that up.
A French painter, Philippe Lemaire, makes a plastic surgeon, Howard Vernon, fix his scarred wife, Amy Dupere, with ill-gotten grafts.
Ill-gotten grafts. Is this French, this film?
I assume so. It seems like it, doesn't it?
You can't put anything past me.
Anne Dupere, Elizabeth Tessier, Valérie
Boisier. So it's a French horror film with sexual overtones.
Something you can watch.
That sounds interesting.
Chase the shits out of the house.
1970 French horror film.
No Matilda May.
No.
But it sounds interesting.
The Blood Rose, you just said this, was widely touted as one of the first films to mix sex and horror.
Now, you got something the other night from Anthony D'Ambrosio. What did you get the other night that was sent here to Nutmeg? You opened it. It was a gift. Was it a movie? Didn't he get something the other night, Frank, that he actually took with him?
Sent home a big, it felt like a heavy book, and it was addressed to your kids.
Yes,
it was from you, for your children.
To my kids.
Did you open it?
Yeah, it was like a social studies book.
How strange.
Enough. Yeah.
Oh, what was the connection there?
I don't know.
Okay, well, we'll thank Anthony for that. Anthony is a friend. He came to see us interview Barry Levinson.
Yes.
Down in Tribeca. And I want to thank a guy named Lance Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, who sent me some really wonderful stuff. He sent me old TV guides and old Life magazines from the Kennedy assassination. Really cool shit.
Is Dan Laurie still around?
Who?
Dan Laurie. He was the father.
Dan Lauria.
Yeah, Dan Lauria.
On the Wonder Years?
Yes.
He's around.
Oh, okay.
Why, what would happen to the man?
He didn't die in a lesbian
cult. No.
With Julie Andrews, Helen Reddy.
No. He's alive and well and with us, Dan Lauria.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
What, you want to invite him on?
Maybe.
Or you just wanted to...
I once met him. At some SAG protest somewhere.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Here's, this is from...
Very nice.
I'm sure he is. This is from Madden Law Offices.
Are you sure these aren't lawsuits?
No. My wife's a little tentative when I bring this stuff into the house and start opening it because she thinks it's, you know, anthrax.
Once you look at it, you've been served.
J. Thomas Madden. Hi, gentlemen. Enclosed swag. Please find... I'm not going to tell Gilbert what's in there. Please find, Gilbert can open it himself and find what's in there. And the second gift is for you, Paul, and I didn't open it.
Uh-oh.
But he writes in the letter, please find number one enclosed, that is the gift for Gilbert. It's true that the squeaky wheel gets the grease, but the lesser known adage is the squeaky Jew gets the tchotchke. I love that. Thomas is J. Thomas Madden. Tom Madden, he signs it. We'll call him Tom, is an attorney in Wheeling, West Virginia.
Wheeling.
I said that. Wheeling, West Virginia. Also find item two, which is an envelope for blind, shoeless, boneless, howling Paul Raybone. He's blind, so just tell him it's a 20.
Blues man Paul Raybone here. Tell him it's a 20.
And he writes, cheers to you, Frank, and to Gilbert, Dara, Frankie V, Blind Paul, and all of the people who contribute to the best podcast in the business. Keep them coming. With best wishes and regards, I remain Tom Madden. Tom sent you this.
Very nice letter.
Yes, so we're going to thank Tom as well.
Tom has changed my life.
What did Tom send you?
To Paul Raybone, the king of the Delta Blues.
He sent you a buck.
He sent me cash, and I can use
he
cash.
He sent you cash.
Let me tell you.
How about
I'd like to lodge a complaint. I've been asking for cash for many
years. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Now I really need it.
Is Tom familiar with the Soupy Sales Show?
Yes, we'll mention that. Gilbert, what'd you get?
Another Monster Times.
How about that?
Another Monster Times.
It is Christmas morning here in Nutmeg.
So I'll put this with my other Monster Times.
So you got three issues of the Monster Times.
Okay. So
are they different issues?
Yeah. I'd like to point out I got no issues of the Monster Times.
Yes.
Did you get a buck?
You got three. I didn't get a buck.
Okay.
I just sit here like a stooge and read the letters.
Wait, is there supposed to be more in here?
No, it was a letter for Raybone. He sent him a buck.
Oh, okay.
And he sent you the Monster Times.
Tom, thank you for the buck. You've turned my life around.
Very
you
nice
no
of
idea.
You, Tom. Very nice. Last but
Although
not least.
I'll give you the Monster Times for a buck.
I hold in my hand the last envelope.
Oh, okay.
We're going to do Karnak. This is from a guy I used to work with at Tops. This is from an illustrator.
Oh, wow.
A gentleman named Fred Wheaton. Wheaton. We did Wacky Packs together and other stuff back in the... Gilbert's going to love this. He's going to plots.
Yeah.
Hey, Frank. Here are the promised... If memory serves, I received them from Crazy... That's going to give away what it is. In Pittsburgh in the early 90s, I hope they are... Oh, and he attached a Wacky Pack that he worked on with... has one of Drew's drawings of Shemp. This is great. This is a coupon of Howard's shampoo from the Topps Company. What year did we do these? 1991. This is drawn by Drew. And on the envelope, he put my Gravestone's Vitamins, which is a Wacky Pack I did. But let's cut to the chase, Gilbert. Your gift is inside. Can you open that envelope? So thank you, Fred.
Just want to say to the fans, you can't even imagine the joy on Gilbert's face as he receives these items.
What'd you get, Gilbert?
The Chick Tracks.
They came.
Oh, my God, I love these.
Thanks to Fred Wheaton. about that?
Here's some guy dying and going to hell already.
Read his letter now. He writes, Frank, here are the promised Chick tracks. If memory serves, I received them from crazy street preachers in Pittsburgh in the early 1990s. I hope they are as hellish as Gilbert remembers.
Oh, these are great.
Isn't that nice?
These are great. I love these Chick packs.
So this ought to illustrate how passionate and how grateful our listeners are.
So thank you.
Fred
Wheaton.
So Gilbert makes pleas. Frank never got his money, his cash, by the
Not
way.
Not a single penny.
Rayburn got $1.
And split it with you. And happy to have it.
Yeah, I got some lovely gifts from. I'm not complaining. I got some lovely stuff from. And again, we'll use the opportunity to thank Kirk Hammett for those that wonderful shirts and the
yes.
tote bag. And you got the box set of the.
I'm gonna lose weight just so I can fit into that shirt. Because they sent me a pack.
You a shirt. That's great.
They sent me old gift bags.
I got to send Kirk Hammett. I just found it. I always lose it and find it again. I've had it since I was a little kid. I sent away to Famous Monsters for Horrible Herman,
the Asiatic insect.
And what came is a tiny box, like about an inch long.
Right, you told him about
it. Yeah, and it was a little stick with a feather on it and a rubber band. Not quite what the drawing in the back of the magazine looked
right,
like.
Right, right, right. Yeah, well, we have to thank Kirk, too. So,
yeah.
We thank Kirk. We thank Anthony D'Ambrosio.
And it's so funny because when someone first suggested Kirk Hammett to me, they said, well, you know, he's from Metallica. And I said, fuck Metallica. And they said, no, he's like the biggest monster.
I can't even remember who suggested him to us.
Yeah.
But he turned out to be the perfect guest.
Oh, total monster geek.
Yeah, that was a fun episode.
Yeah, he knows all of it.
Yeah, only Gilbert and I would interview the lead guitarist of Metallica and not discuss Metallica for 90 minutes. Only ask one from my sister-in-law's boyfriend.
I don't know a fucking thing about Metallica. But you want to talk about old monsters.
That's just, you're there.
Yeah.
You're in.
We put Enter Sandman. Frank did some editing on that episode. We put Enter Sandman in there. We put a little nod to the fans.
Every time Gilbert tells the insect story, I feel like the opening scene of the movie Avalon with the old man.
Yes!
And I'm picturing like 90-year-old Gilbert with people around him going, I got the insect from the magazine.
Barry Levinson movie. Yeah. Yeah, that guy played a good Nazi, Armin Mueller-Stahl.
Oh, that's
actor?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, he played in that movie Music Box with Jessica Lange.
And
he was
the music box was written by that crazy writer.
Joe Esterhaus?
Who? I heard Joe Esterhaus. His father was a Nazi.
What?
Yeah.
Jeez, this episode is a little all over the place. Let me thank these people. Paul Ekstrom, thank you very much for the movie. Anthony D'Ambrosio, Lance Laurie, Tom Madden, Fred Wheaton. Who have I left out here? I forgot one.
Oh.
This is from Sean. Oh, I can't. How do you spell his name? Sean Orkinoto. I think it's Sean Orkinoto. And he sent Monster Magazines on DVD.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think those are digital episodes of the Monster Times that you can read in your computer.
This is so strange.
How about that? Is that great?
Yes.
I couldn't believe it. It's sitting in a stack in my lap, and I almost forgot Sean. So thank you, Sean. Thank you, Joseph Ginsburg, and Fred Wheaton, and Tom, and Lance Laurie, and Anthony. And did I forget anybody else? I think I got everybody in.
Okay. I just love that we've had the joy of Christmas
we got
and the
Madden.
Sorrow of Nazis all in a 30
Yeah, well,
span.
That's us.
We
yeah.
got Madden.
And Tom Madden, yeah. I thanked everybody.
And okay.
So there you go. So you can go crazy over those.
Yeah.
So that now, and Dara will be thrilled that you're bringing 40-year-old newsprint into her apartment.
Exactly.
So here's Gilbert was right on again from the New York Times. In his book, Mr. Esterhaus reveals that his Hungarian emigre father, whom he adored, had written virulent anti-Semitic propaganda before and during World War II.
Unbelievable, Gilbert.
Wow.
How do you do it?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast after this.
Real quickly, because we have a couple of minutes to kill, We probably don't even have any time to read any tweets, do we, Frank?
I haven't been playing with the clock. It has been 19 and a half minutes.
Okay, I'm going to just read four or five tweets of my favorite tweets just to fill out this episode. These are some tweets that have come in lately. By our friend Maria Scheinfeld. Remember Marissa Scheinfeld, excuse me. Remember Marissa? She did the book on the Borscht Belt?
Yes.
On the
Vanishing
Borscht Belt. She tweeted, "I can't believe it's been a year since I got to hang with Gilbert." More info at borschtbeltbook.com. Yes, go to borschtbeltbook.com and get Marissa's wonderful and sad book. It was a year ago.
Wow.
That we had her here.
I was just talking about her at a barbecue. No, when I was on a camping trip, and somebody was talking about there's some music festival in the Catskills now where people stay in these old hotels that have not really been touched up. They're just really gross and weird and half abandoned. And it made me think of her book. Apparently, they're being used.
Are they?
That's what I
heard.
That's
really interesting.
For a music festival.
That is really interesting. I didn't know that at all. People love the Sid and Marty episode, Gilbert.
Yes, I know.
Are you familiar? Steve Ulrich wants to know, does Gilbert know one of John MacGyver's greatest characters is in a movie called The Gazebo?
That movies? I know I've seen the movie.
And it was on TCM. He wanted you to know that.
I remember the movie used to play on TV, but I remember nothing about it.
Okay. Three Oranges writes, "I never expected to hear Sid Croft say that he worked with Olson and Johnson." How about that? I love that. This is my favorite, Slope of Hope. This is the tweet of the month. Frank Santopadre is a class act. Every time a guest compliments the preparation you guys did for the show, Frank never hints that he's doing 80% of the prep work.
80% is generous.
80% is generous. Jared sent some horror screen prints that I will send to you, Gilbert. Those are fun. Who else do we want to talk about here? This is fun. Dr. Atlantis. I hope you guys talk to Sid and Marty about the world of Sid and Marty Croft down in Atlanta.
The building
that became CNN. Giant escalator is still at the CNN offices.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Weren't they wonderful? And didn't they have a great Sunshine Boys?
It was so funny. Because, like, is it Sid? Who's the happy?
Sid. Yeah. Sid's happy and Marty's miserable.
Yeah. Sid is like a little kid on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And Marty, God, is he an angry?
Well, the best part was Sid was telling a really long story and Marty said, "I was born," at the end of the story.
Now, and he's constantly jumping in,
yeah,
and going, "It didn't happen.
No. Come on, Sid. They were dead by then."
Yeah.
Johnny Ray, not the singer Johnny Ray, writes, "Did you see this tweet? No. Okay, the Sid and Marty Croft episode did it, guys. I'm getting an ACP tattoo." He's threatening to get an amazing colossal podcast tattoo.
Yipes.
"Plans made, design done. You guys spread so much joy. I'll send pics next week."
Ooh.
Do we want to discourage him from doing that?
I think that's a little scary.
But he's going to have it done in front of his shrine of Gilbert.
Yeah. I had a fan come up to me on this. I had a fan come up to me after a show.
Maybe the same dude.
Rolled up his sleeve and he had a tattoo of Hervé Villechaize.
Oh, my God. Well, at least it wasn't you.
Yeah.
And you're not responsible.
Said rolled up his sleeve because that could have gone a lot worse.
Don tweets. He tweets Herman Munster singing "The Foot Bone" is connected to the thigh bone, which I can only imagine is a Paul Raybone homage.
Yes.
Let's see what we have here. Some other people.
Can we get John Murray to record a blues track with Paul singing?
We'll have to do that.
Official release.
Great episode, guys. I love the enthusiasm and the rapid-fire questions. You wore them both out. That was fun. They were wonderful guests.
They were a lot of fun.
Yep. I'm telling you, it says Joe Coca-Katana. HR Puffin stuff freaked me out as a kid, and I was born in 1968. You must have been totally jaded. Let's do this one. People are talking about Pink Lady and Jeff.
Yeah.
Which we had...
I've been sent a few clips.
yeah.
of this show. And I guess
it always ended with them getting into a hot tub.
Yeah, and I gotta say, those two look really hot in bikinis.
The pink lady?
Yeah. But now it's so funny to think, because I look at them and go, oh wow, they look hot.
Yeah.
And now I go, oh, they're in their 70s now.
Maybe we can have them on with Pappy on.
Oh yeah.
And Susu. This is a recent tweet about today's
meeting. I haven't given up. If anyone has a connection to Pappy,
people sent them. We know how to find her.
Well, I say she's in England.
Yeah, she's in the UK, and she's, I believe, either a chiropractor
doctor,
or an acupuncturist.
Or some weird kind of spiritual healing.
I think she moved to the UK once she heard that we were trying to get her on the show.
Yeah, and to try to get a hookup in the UK, forget it.
Well, maybe. We got Hawaii with Kirk.
Oh, that's
right. I don't think we've done an overseas connection, have we, Frank?
Those are tricky.
Yeah. Ed, this is about today's mini. I am sure there were more than one, but I grew up about 3 miles from the porno drive-in that Gilbert is talking about.
Oh.
It was in the Somerville Drive in New Jersey. Does that mean anything to you?
Oh, I don't know the title of the place.
Yeah. Yeah. And, Eric Ryan
just
writes,
that they were car crashes, because when you drive on a certain road,
yes,
you'd look down the hill and there'd be a girl sucking a giant cock.
Somebody else wrote about that. Let me see if I can find the tweet. But I tweeted, Scott Alexander sent me the poster for the Sid and Marty Krofft live show at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
And Billy Barty was in the show.
Oh.
And Eric Ryan writes, Billy Barty beats Gilbert out for another gig.
my arch nemesis, Billy Barty.
Yep. Last one. I think there was one other one about the... this is Harold Itzkowitz with the Paul Rayburn picture that somehow I missed. But there was one other guy asking you about that drive-in. Brett Scotchmer does these terrific pictures of Lon Chaney, drawings of Lon Chaney Sr.,
which
he's been sending.
I heard he's trying to make like a set
of trading cards.
Yeah.
Somebody sent us a Three Stooges, Jim James sent us a picture of a Three Stooges pinball machine and wrote there was an unacceptable lack of Shemp.
Someone sent me, I wish I could remember the fucking name now. Someone sent me a photo of Chickle Marx standing with Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah, I have that picture.
And it's so weird because none of them are in character.
Yeah, we'll dig out who it was. I know that picture.
They're just wearing suits and ties. And they're not making a face or anything. Well, very odd.
We'll wrap with this one also about the drive-in. This is Patrick Bodale. I believe the drive-in Gilbert is referring to was the Amboy. Now we have conflicting reports. Was the Amboy drive-in, which you could see from the GS Parkway Bridge. GS?
Garden State Parkway
Bridge. In an effort to bolster flagging attendance, they would show recut R-rated versions of porno movies. And he sent a link to Cinema Treasures.
The problem with drive-in porno movies is if you back into your parking spot and look in the mirror, it says objects in mirror are larger than they appear. And I can't handle that kind of intimidation. That's a little too much.
You do not know of this drive-in history, being a Jersey guy?
I live in Jersey, but I wasn't raised in Jersey.
Well, as we run out of time with this mini, we have to talk about a passing. We have to say goodbye.
Yes.
And it is not to Julie Andrews.
No.
We have to say goodbye to our recording space.
Yes.
That has been our home for what, Frank? 2.5 years?
It's been a while. I don't even remember when we started.
It's been a while. Leopold, I think Tom Leopold was our maiden guest.
Although I will say, in anger.
Yeah.
They never had snacks here.
No, we did. They had snacks in the first year. You cleared them. You cleaned them out.
We haven't had Perrier in a while. They're on to you.
Yeah. Yeah, Gilbert used to walk into the room with arms full of Butterfingers and Twizzlers and Cheez-Its and bottles of Perrier, and then the snack policy changed.
Yes.
I don't know how that happened.
Well, by the time this episode airs,
we'll
either be in a new group space
yes.
somewhere, maybe, or I will be doing something else somewhere. Either way, I'll still be a part of the show.
Yes, Frank is staying with us. We should point that out. We are just leaving that much.
I don't know, but for guaranteed certain, by the time you're listening to the show.
Frank Ferdarosa.
No, well, Frank.
The space we're in now is going to be a scraped, cleared cement floor.
That is
and,
so
and
weird.
We should point out that there are tags. We recorded two episodes last night. There are
on
tags
everything.
On everything with lot numbers. Because that are going.
This,
I guess
probably by the time this airs, everything will either have been stored in a warehouse.
Yes.
Until we find a new home.
Yes.
Or auctioned off.
So yes.
I'm not the owner of this place. I don't know what's going to happen next.
And it's been your home since what? Since 2008?
I started here in 2004. I had my own company before this.
So 14 years you've been here.
14 years.
Yeah.
14 years in September.
Yeah. And it's been the home for many of our podcast experiences. We had Jimmy Webb in here. You sang MacArthur Park in this room.
Yes.
You sang, we all sang Dare too. We all sang Tie Yellow Ribbon to Tony Orlando in here.
This booth should be dismantled and reassembled in the Smithsonian.
You think so? I should. That was the chair Matthew Broderick was sitting in when Gilbert told him he fucking headed Ferris Bueller.
You did wait till the end of the episode before you said
that. No,
that
was the first
thing.
No,
the first thing first I said. First thing out of my mouth.
Patton Oswalt was in here. Who else did we have? Ron and Jessica did a wonderful show.
Oh, yes.
She was here yesterday, and she got the news that we're shutting this space down, and she was sad about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a great ride.
You know, and Frank, one thing that I anticipate that will make this easier is Gilbert will be announcing that we're recording at Nutmeg for probably the next 6 months.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We may end up in the space occupied by the old porno drive-in if we're not lucky. But there's been some great memories here.
Oh, yeah.
And also the Mario Christmas episodes.
Oh. Hysterical.
In this room, the anniversary shows.
Just drinking wine in the kitchen out there before or after episodes is always great.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody that's come through here, everybody that we've met.
I just say, it's a pity that, you know, there's this uncertainty with what's happening at Nutmeg, but they've been very kind to us.
Yeah, they have.
You know.
Yeah, we want
to
thank them.
John used to get us wine every time we were recording. And
yeah, yeah. We want to thank, John's last name is, again,
John Edelman.
We want to thank John. We want to thank everybody.
He made the deal that got us in this room.
Yeah, and everybody else who put up with us here and the engineers. Frank, please read their names.
Well, we had Sam Giovinco, who is not only a great assistant all day, but also got us set up here every night we were recording.
Well, thank you, Sam.
And Daniel Farrell, who also spent many nights setting us up in here for Skype and regular sessions. And they're both awesome. They're good mixers in their own right. They'll land on their feet. And we may also be in a new space soon.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
Or we're back to Gilbert's kitchen table.
Well, oh, my God. when we used to do it there, people would, like, send me tweets going, like, was that done in the Lincoln Tunnel?
we had some sound challenges.
The time since we've been together, I've been accumulating gear to start my own podcast, which now may very well be used to record this podcast. I've got my own arsenal of stuff.
Yeah, it's this place. We took a quantum leap forward when we came here, and not only in terms of audio quality and fidelity and all of those other things, but it coincided with us kind of turning the corner guest-wise. You know, we got Dick Van Dyke.
Oh, yeah.
I was sitting in that chair, and you were out in L.A. with Dick, and I was on Skype. And,
yeah, that wow.
And then this is, well, I mean, we should also mention the Skype episodes that were done from here, Norman Lear and Carl Reiner and all the rest. And
I just, it's like, unlike other things related to the show, you've been mentioning Nutmeg for years, week after week.
Yeah.
And it took a long time to die. Whereas other guests, you mention them once.
That's
oh,
it.
Yes.
That's
and then
it.
They're gone within a week.
So RIP, I guess you said Nutmeg's name too many times.
I know.
So rest in peace, Nutmeg, originally Nutmeg Post.
Maybe not. We may still be around.
Maybe not. But
we're in the future now, and we don't know yet.
We had a great time. Yes. But if in fact, by the time this episode airs, we're somewhere else, it was a good time.
No, this room where all these celebrities have been, by the time you're listening to this, there's a realtor in a suit showing some tech company the space, and it's completely empty.
All those celebrities and Gilbert.
Yes.
So that's it. I think this may be one of our last minis of the summer. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're probably hearing this at Halloween.
And I think it's in August.
And I got to say, on a different topic, just like other places mm-hmm. I've been in.
Yeah.
Where I, you know, take sodas and chocolate bars.
I don't believe that.
And cookies.
You?
And I've said to people like, oh, well, you caught me. I take stuff from these places. And at least three places have said, oh, no, you're strictly amateur when it comes to being a schnorrer at this place. And I said, oh, well, who beats me? And they would all go, Richard Kind. Yeah.
I said
you
this
are
to you.
One of them. And then a bunch of other people all said, yeah, Richard Kind.
We love Richard.
Now, I said that to Gilbert once, and then Richard Kind came in to record for a cartoon and said, are you the one who told Gilbert I take more snacks than him? But then, Gilbert was in Toronto and had to record something up there, and Gilbert comes back in and says to me, I was in a studio in Toronto, and I was taking their snacks, and the engineer said, oh, don't worry, there's somebody who takes more than you. And he said, who? And it was Richard Kind.
Yes. Hilarious.
In Toronto.
Yes. Hilarious. Richard.
Hilarious.
Hilarious. Right, Richard, like, we adore you.
Yeah, they say Richard Kind has me in the amateur leagues.
If you and Richard Kind hadn't been here, there might have been enough snacks to carry us through this dark time.
Yes.
Well,
that's why you're closing.
We thank everybody at Nutmeg. It's been a great ride, yeah. And we will ride somewhere else. We will
possibly a new nutmeg. We
possibly a new nutmeg. Yeah. Possibly in Paul's basement
or in my oven. It could go either way.
Want to take us out, Gilly Gill?
This has been Gilbert and Frank's amazing colossal obsessions.
See you next time.
When mistletoe and tinsel glow, paint a Yuletide Valentine. Back home I go, those I know, for a Christmas Auld Lang Syne. And as we gather round the tree, our voices all combine in sweet accord to thank the Lord for a Christmas Auld Lang Syne.
When sleigh bells ring and choirs sing, and the children's faces shine,
with each new toy we share their joy with a Christmas Auld Lang Syne. We sing his praise this day of days, and pray next year this time we'll all be near to share the cheer of a Christmas Auld Lang Syne.
Everybody, and a happy new year.
In sweet accord, we thank you.